Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And this will be our last night to go live for a few weeks because we're going to begin traveling again. Now, the middle, what are the dates? Julia's here. What are the dates for our class in Fayetteville? It's the 2 weeks. She's trying to think, too.
17th through the 19th, I believe it is, something like that. Don't ask me detailed questions.
Because next week we'll be at the UFO conference in Eureka Springs, and I've been going to that for 22, 23 years. Mm-hmm. And we'll be there. And then after that, we're having my class in Fayetteville, Arkansas, on my technique. And you said that's April, the weekend of the 18th.
Right.
Friday, yeah. Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Then the following week, we will be in San Diego.
Right.
Where I'll be doing a lecture and having two classes in San Diego. And there's still room if people want to get into these classes. Because these are the ones where I teach my technique, and I'm doing it all over the world. But these are the first ones this year.
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
The last one.
I didn't realize that, but I guess it is.
The last one we did was...
I guess I'm just really disoriented today. What day is it? What time is it? What year is it? What planet? What dimension are we on?
Well, the last one we did was November, was in Burbank, California.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then we stopped for the holidays.
Right.
Okay, but if anybody wants to sign up for these classes, there is still room. And then in May, we'll be having a class in Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So things are starting up again, so I'll be on the road. So those 3 weeks, we'll be traveling, and so Seth will be taking shows out of the archives to put on the air. Now, tonight and every night until June, we're going to be having the speakers for our conference. And what are the dates in June? You remember those?
Yeah, the 18th to the 20th.
Okay, June 18th through the 20th, 3 days, we're going to be having our conference over in Fayetteville, a Rogers area. And this is our fifth conference. It's a transformational conference is what we call it. And every year, we use it as a platform and a display for the authors that we are printed, especially the new ones coming up, because many of them have not spoken in public, and it's really a good chance.
Right.
Except that the group keeps growing and growing.
So it's a really good chance.
Uh-huh.
There's some very good exposure.
But last year, we always have really good keynotes. Last year, we brought Helen Brady from Australia, the former singer, and we had about 400 people,
mm-hmm.
So it was really good. This year, we're going, as our keynote, we're going to have Lindsay Wagner, and that's the Lindsay Wagner, the one who was the former bionic woman. And we found that a lot of these people, as they became famous and they have done their careers, that they're still working out there.
Mm-hmm.
But as they've gotten to where they're not worried about it anymore, they're coming out of the closet. And
right, yeah, the other thing we're finding out,
what?
They're really nice people, too.
Oh, they really are. But we're finding out many of them have spent their whole life in metaphysics and just didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're ready to go out and tell everyone. So she's going to be doing a talk as well as a workshop there,
right.
Too.
Yes.
And this is a 3-day conference, and we've got a lot of wonderful speakers. So that's why I started a few weeks ago. Every week we're going to feature one of our authors or one of the speakers at the conference.
Right.
And then you come to the conference, you'll get to meet all these people and hear them. We've also got Sherry Edwards, who is going. She's a pioneer in sound healing, and she's going to be there and do a workshop. And I think everybody knows Danion Brinkley is going to be there. He's the man who died 3 times and lived to tell the tale. There was a movie made about his story. I think it's called Saved by the Light.
Right.
And Eric Roberts played him in the movie. So a lot of you probably know him. So we got some fantastic speakers at this next show. Okay, before we bring on my guests, let me give out the toll-free number if anyone wants to call in and ask questions.
ask questions about from our speaker and the topic that we're on.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes they want to call and just talk to me. And
right.
Let's stick with the topic that we're having tonight. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. 1-888-815-9756. If anybody wants to call in and ask questions. And as you know, my daughter Julia's here. She always has a lot of good input now, so we've been
I'm a comedy relief.
So I'm letting her sit in on these, and it gives me a little bit of relief, if nothing else. Okay, but our guest tonight is one of our authors, and she's going to be a speaker at the conference. Her name is Nikki Patello. And Nikki was supposed to speak last year, so I had her on the show as a guest, but she was supposed to speak last year, but instead she decided to go to India.
Well, she wanted to be with her husband. Now, give all the details.
Okay. So, I know some people said they came and they wanted to hear her story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, she's going to be there this year.
Right, Nikki?
I'm there. I'm booked.
I'm not going to let you get out of it this year.
Pop suitcase will travel.
There you go.
You're going to have to be there. I'm not going to let you get out of it. Okay, well, Nikki wrote the book called Children of the Stars, and this is the story of the indigo, crystal, rainbow children, what we call the special children.
The new kids.
The new kids on the block is what Mary Rodwell calls them. I call them the gift. They're supposed to be the gift to the future. These are the new children that have been coming in, and Nikki has written this book, Children of the Stars, kind of like a, I guess you would say, instruction book, instruction manual for the care and feeding of special children. And also it's very good for educators. And she said it's also for the children themselves to understand themselves. And I have spoken at conferences that are based around these special children. So I've had a lot of exposure. And also they said some of these conferences were for educating the educators. But Nikki, before we get into the book, I just want you to tell everybody about yourself.
Yeah, I grew up one of these children. I was a very psychic child. As early as third grade that I can remember, I saw and heard things that other people couldn't see and hear. I saw ghosts. I talked to people's family members that had passed over. And it was really, really scary. My parents thought I was making it up. You know, my friends would call me weird and freak, and I didn't have very many friends. And it was really scary because back then in the 70s, nobody, I don't know that they didn't understand it, but nobody really talked about this. And as a result, my gift kind of got stuffed down inside of me. Although I always had it, I always had my angels and my guides speaking to me. I just thought I was kind of crazy. I just didn't know. But now when I got into my 30s, I'm in my 40s now, the gift came back stronger than ever. And I knew I was here for a reason, and I knew I was here to write and to live through these experiences and to be able to tell other young adults and other children that, hey, you're not crazy. This is okay, and you're special. You're unique. You're here on a group project, and you're here to help this earth and all living and non-living things on it. And it's okay. It's okay to feel different.
Well, see, I see people like you all the time that they've said they've had to hide these gifts because everybody, as they were growing up, thought they were crazy, and you can't tell anyone or they'll think you're crazy. And I've got friends who are, they're practicing psychics now who are older than you are, who had the same problem growing up. So it is more common than you think. It's just that they're not allowed to talk about it.
That's right.
And they kind of get squished. And sometimes they don't get it back because it's been pushed down so much. But Nikki, tell me about your background, you know, who you are and what you do for a living and everything.
Well, I write full time. I do a lot of environmental work. I'm the president of the recycling committee here on my island, and we just got curbside recycling, which I'm really proud of. It took us 5 years to get it because we've got a lot of good old boys here down on the Gulf Coast, and to get them to change their behavior and their way of thinking has been very difficult. I'm married. I have a beautiful daughter, a six-year-old named Maddie, who's also very psychic, and that's another reason why I wrote this book is, you know, I needed to jot notes down just to remind myself what I went through, and I know what she's going to go through and how to encourage and support her mentally, physically, and spiritually to grow up to be the person that she's meant to be. Before my gifts came back real strong, I was a clinical microbiologist and a molecular biologist.
Oh.
And my angels kept telling me, you need to write, you need to write. Well, if you don't do it, we're going to push you. And I got laid off at work. And, of course, by a fluke, I got a writing job, and it wasn't a fluke. And it led me to all of this and Miss Dolores picking up my book, which has just been wonderful.
Uh-huh. So, well, that's the thing. You know, you sometimes you're into something, and if it's not right, they'll find a way to get you out of it. And sometimes they'll hit you up the side of the head, which is not the way to do it. They'll get your attention.
Well, and it's scary because you say, okay, I'm ready, do what you have to do, and then you get laid off from your job, and all of a sudden I didn't quite mean, let me have a paycheck.
Exactly.
So that was real scary. So, you know, this is something else. Be careful what you ask for. Prepared to accept it in whatever form that it comes, because change is very scary. It really is.
Oh, yeah. But see, it's like anything. Once you ask for it, it's like having a child. You can't say once it's there, oh, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. I don't really want that.
Right.
You have to take it, and you have a responsibility for whatever it is you ask for and you create.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And as, you know, energy is kind of, the time's kind of speeding up right now, I find things that you ask for are actually coming quite quickly.
Very quickly.
Yes. Good and bad, depending on where you're at and what you're asking for and what you're doing. But my goodness, things happen very quick these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we run our whole company on that, and we know. We said we just sit back and watch the magic.
Yeah.
Because it is happening a lot faster than it used to.
That's right.
Well, I have a question, Nikki. You said when your abilities came back, what happened? Did you ask for them to come back, or what happened? Because I know some people, younger, 20s age nieces and daughter and things like that, and they're like, I want my stuff back. They squashed theirs when they were younger.
Right.
And they're wanting them back. So I was wondering, did you do something, or did it something just come back on you, or how did it open back up for you?
Well, it never really stopped. It kept sort of trickling through. And I should imagine for your friends and their children and nieces and nephews, the same thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But all I did is I asked my angel, I said, look, if you want me to do something like this, please send me some help because I don't understand this. And, you know, you can order an angel. It's something that I learned. I can order a parking angel or, an accounting angel.
I like the parking angel.
That's right. At Christmas time, it really comes in handy, Dolores.
That's the truth.
So I just asked an angel, and they sent me a friend who's become my lifelong friend now. Her name is Myra Logan, and Myra is an animal communicator. And she sort of took me under her wing, and we went to workshops together, to meditation classes, and, stuff I found on the web on how to meditate and going to these classes and just feeding my knowledge in any way that I could. And I learned through meditation that I could reopen this up, and I could raise my vibrational frequency, and the angels could come in stronger and louder than before. So, I would encourage people to go to workshops, to even for free, you can read on the web on how to meditate. And they even have, like, free meditation classes on the web. Just get there any way you can. Get to a class. Get on the web. Find out what you need to do. But meditation certainly is a big key to that.
Well, okay. Meditation is very good for you. Even the doctors are admitting that now. It's really good just to be able to relax the body. And
relax the mind.
It's good for the body. And they said, even if we can just do it 5 or 10 minutes, if you're working, just take a little break. That's all it needs. Because
every day.
It's really good for the body to be able to just relax like that.
And it raises your vibrational frequency, and that's really important when you're trying to connect to your angels and your guides. You want your vibrational frequency to be higher. And, you know, there's things you can do to help that. My angels have told me the quickest way to raise your vibrational frequency is simply to say thank you. They said that's the fastest way to get up and running. Thank you. Even if it's something bad, because even the bad things that happen in our life are spiritual lessons. Because, you know, we're here on Earth on our big playground, and that's what we're here for. We all want to get to the front of the train. And we do that through learning these spiritual lessons that we're here to do on this playground. So even if bad things happen to you, say thank you, because there is certainly a lesson in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people to look at it and see, what did you learn from it? Because it was always trying to teach you something.
Well, I think you're right. If you say thank you, then that's acknowledging to yourself, okay, there's a lesson here, and that will get you to that point of looking for the lesson probably
faster.
Find
out what it
is.
Uh-huh.
That's right. But, when you know, if you don't learn it, it'll keep happening to you, maybe in different forms or different ways, or maybe in the same way over and over.
Right.
But, you know,
if you don't
progress
it.
Until you get these lessons. And, you know, I learned it can be easy little things. My angels have told me that every single day of our lives there's a spiritual lesson. It could be a song on the radio. It could be someone that you've spoken to. It can be a sign on the side of the road. I mean, they're just everywhere. Spiritual lessons are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. Otherwise, you know, sometimes I've wondered about that, the time factor. You know, we're here for all this time, and it's like, does it really take this many days to do X, Y, Z or something? It's like, so that makes more sense that maybe every day there is something going on.
Yeah, a little baby
usually
death.
Usually it's subtle if we don't pay attention to it.
That's right. And usually we're getting messages from either our guides or our angels, and we're not receiving those messages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you maybe you want to be an accountant, and you wake up one night, you can't sleep, you turn on an infomercial, and there's an accounting infomercial, you know, and then you go up to Barnes & Noble, and in the window is an accounting book. You know, that's almost like beating you in the head. You need
right,
to become
right.
an accountant.
Yep. We found this a lot.
Yeah, just paying attention.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I tell people, if you say that I didn't learn anything from it, then you're going to have to go through it again until you finally do see what the lesson is they're trying to show you anyway.
And sometimes it's a little scary. Sometimes it's difficult to look within ourselves and say, you know, this is what I need to learn. Maybe it's a hard lesson. But certainly looking within, even though that's very scary to do sometimes, it is there.
Of course, a lot of times it deals with karma, to get rid of all of that, all the baggage in the garbage, so you can move on anyway.
Yep, and now that, you know, time is changing a little bit, we can create so much good karma in such a little amount of time, and it just doesn't take much. You know, I'm always picking up trash on the side of the road as if I'm walking around, and, you know, my friends are like, why are you picking up trash? Because I said, I know it's good karma.
Yeah, karma works both ways. There's always such a negative thing to it, but it works both ways.
That's right. And I'm actually writing about that now in my third book. I'm talking a little bit about dualities, how we live in this universe of dualities. You know, there's good karma, bad karma. You know, just as much as we have up and down, there is good and bad here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to rack up your brownie points. You don't want to have the other kind.
That's exactly what I say, Miss Dolores. Rack up those good brownie points.
Okay. Well, Nikki, let's talk about the book. It's Children of the Stars. And I know everybody always thinks of the Indigo Children. Of course, I've been told that's not a good name for them. It just has to do with their aura. But it's the special kids. But do you want to tell the listeners how they could tell if they have one of these special children?
Sure.
What are the signs of something that they
characteristics?
Could, the characteristics.
Stereotypical ones.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I get a lot of email from people who have read my book, and they know. People know when they have a special child.
Mm-hmm.
Often it starts out, my child isn't like other kids. Parents tend to really know. You can kind of look at the time frame of when they're born, and certainly some of the characteristics of the indigo children, which we can really call the young adults of today. The biggest thing about them is they're angry.
They're getting to be teenagers now, aren't they?
Well, young
That's
adults.
Correct, yep. They started coming in the 1970s through the 1990s. That's correct.
Yeah.
And
okay,
they're here for a reason.
You said one of the characteristics is that they're angry, you said.
They're angry, and they're angry for a reason. I don't like to hear, like, my child has a problem, they're angry all the time. Because I always say anger is not a bad thing. Anger is what brings about change. Now, certainly, you know, as a nice civilized society, we can make change in a nice civil way. But it's true that when you're angry, things happen faster. And the biggest example I have is Mothers Against Drunk Driving. MAD, M-A-D-D. This woman's child was killed by a drunk driver, and she got angry, and she changed the law. So anger is not a bad thing. It's really not, especially with the indigo children. These children kind of act like royalty. You know, they know they're here for a reason. They are what I consider spiritual warriors. They don't like deception, and they know when you're lying to them, and they don't like it. All of these star children don't fit in really well with society. Just because we've sort of hemmed ourselves into these systems that, you know, no longer serve the good of humanity. You know, we're kind of stagnant in our growth right now. And this is why they're here. They're here to change things. And they do it in different ways. The crystal children, and they started trickling in about 1990 and on up to this year, to 2010. Of course, some of the scouts came earlier than that. But I would say 1990 to 2010 is about the range of the crystal children. And they're exciting. They're considered to be sort of fully developed masters, and they carry this sort of Christ consciousness within them. And they have a purpose as well. They want to reveal our inner power and our higher power and why we're here. They're very calm children. They like to speak about love and universal healing. And they're just incredible. The newer ones that are coming are the rainbow children. They are just beginning to appear the last couple years. I see a lot more being born now in 2010. But of course, you know, 2008, 2009, rainbow children began to come in. And they're here to help us evolve, to help humanity evolve. And they are, you would know a rainbow child if you saw one. They are just a bundle of love. They are an incredibly forgiving. They are, they don't have any karma. They've never been here before. They have got functional families that they're born into. They have incredible healing and telepathic abilities. But parents, they know when they have one of these star children. Like I said, these emails that I get start off with, I know my child is different. I think that they're a star child.
Mm-hmm. I get emails like that all the time, too. I've written about them in some of my books, and they're always talking about how advanced they are at a very young age. It's always the same characteristics in all of the emails.
Right.
So they're definitely out there.
Right.
But, of course, because they are different, the parents have a hard time dealing with them sometimes. Do you have any advice on what the parents should do?
Well, certainly recognizing that you have a child that's here for a purpose. And I often tell parents that I know it is so difficult for you because I get those emails too. You know, I'm a parent. I don't know what to do. My child's not doing well in school. You know, they think the school system's all wrong. They want to change it. You know, they don't want to go anymore. You know, I'm sure you've heard this story. But just recognizing that you have one of these children and that you actually chose to mentor one of these special souls that have agreed to come here on this group mission. You know, you agreed to that before you even got here. And it is hard. It is really difficult being the parent of one of these children. But there are a lot of things you can do. First of all, is just recognizing that you have one and understanding that they need to be who they are. Don't try and change them. You know, you don't have to agree with everything they do, but just understand where they're coming from, that they're here for a reason to try and change society. You know, they're trying to change, actually, humanity on a much larger scale. Loving and nurturing them, letting them know that their psychic abilities, that it's okay. It's okay to see and hear things that other people don't see and hear. It's also important to feed them healthy food. Not a lot of people can afford organic food, but certainly getting lots of green and orange things in your child's body is very good for them because it's at a higher vibrational frequency. And, you know, what you put in is sort of what you get out. So healthy food is very, well, they're sensitive. I should just say that they're sensitive to the vibrational input.
To stay away from the junk food anyway.
Yeah, try and, you know, they're going to want McDonald's, but it's all right.
Uh-huh.
And you don't talk down to your children. You know, they're incredibly empathetic, and they have these complex emotional bodies and electric systems. So don't tell them they don't know what they're doing or they don't know what they're talking about, because it's the complete opposite of that. They're here on a group mission. They're here for a purpose. So understand that and don't talk down to them. It's just not easy parenting a star child, because it's time for change, and the change is coming. And just like I talked about earlier, change is difficult. It's really hard to do.
But they're here to help with all of this.
Yes. They've come on this planet with their own mission. And
well, it's kind of like they're helping with the change by giving us an example, maybe. You know,
right, and living through it and changing it, like the Indigo children. You know, the Indigos are here to challenge our beliefs, our existing forms and beliefs. The Crystal children is the next wave that came through, and they're teaching us empowerment, and they're teaching us love. And then the Rainbow children are coming in to teach us how to heal, teaching us, each of us, how to fulfill our missions that we're here for.
Did you have something?
Well, because I was thinking, like, in the lectures that you give, because you're talking about the new kids, they're saying that their DNA is already in place and everything, and then that's part of what's helping. By them being there showing us, you know, then that's helping us to make our changes that we need to make as we're making them. I guess, like you're saying, they have the ability, so then we can see, oh, well, this is where I'm moving toward. So
right.
Yeah,
and that's
the DNA
is difficult. Right.
Mm-hmm. The DNA is definitely being changed in everyone, but the new kids are coming in with everything already in place, and that's what makes it different.
And see, they know they're normal, and we're not normal. And it's not what we're thinking. We're thinking that we're the normal ones.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to catch up, really.
That's right. And they're here to show us the way. You know, they're beating a path down for us. And I think they're incredibly brave souls. They're incredibly brave souls that have agreed to come here on this group mission because, you know, this playground is really hard. Earth is a really hard place to be. And
yes,
they've agreed to come here and try and change things and to help us. And, you know, we need to allow that to happen. We need to accept them as who they are and let them do their jobs.
Well,
you know, Go ahead, Julia.
No. Well, I was going to say one thing I noticed, one parent one time, and I felt like this was a message that was important. I mean, obviously she had a special child and everything, but then she was trying to cater her whole world around this special child and do all this. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. First of all, there's still a child, you know, and so can you back me up on that one? Because, you know, they still need their guidance and they still came in the order that they did as a child, you know.
That's right. So. Well, they still have to grow up and they still need parenting.
Right.
You know, you don't want them to get out of control. And especially for the indigo children, they're having a very difficult time here. And they're coined the Ritalin generation because they have times of extreme behavior problems. And, of course, the pharmaceutical companies have created a pill for this.
I was going to say. They shouldn't be on these medications, should they?
No, they should not be on these medications at all. The children are just having a difficult time coping with our existing low-level energies. And they're doing what they do best. They're rebelling. And if you medicate them, you actually lower their vibrational frequency, which makes it, of course, harder for them to communicate with their guides and their angels. But not only that, but you are inhibiting them from fulfilling their mission of why they're here. And I know that it's so difficult to deal with these children, but if at all possible, you need to try to not medicate them because really you're stopping them from becoming who they need to be.
Well, and I would think that they would be even more frustrated if they're not able to accomplish their mission. I mean, if it's not on this level, then on a very close level, they know. Like you said, they know why they're here. So.
That's right, and especially you hit the nail on the head. It's especially true of indicos. They have a specific purpose, and their purpose is to seek out the truth and to change these archaic systems and thoughts on this old energy grid. You know, we're all kind of moving on to this new energy grid, and they're helping us with that. And medicating them is not helping them. It will severely inhibit their abilities. And you just don't want to do that.
Of course, I can see what the teachers are going through, you know, the overcrowded classrooms, and you get some in there that are disruptive, and they don't know what to do with them.
Right.
And so they figure the answer is Ritalin or one of the other drugs. But, I'm going to ask you what your advice is to teachers, because I said I've gone to these conferences where they're trying to educate the educators. And I know what I've been told to tell them, but do you have any advice for the teachers?
That's really difficult. I think the most important thing is to respect these children, to understand that they're here for a reason. And certainly, excuse me, as a teacher, it is so important for them to practice unconditional love. And I know that's so hard when you've got 30 kids in your class and, you know, 10 of them are climbing up the walls and, you know, rebelling and changing things. And it is certainly a tribute to our amazing teachers here that we have here. That they need to respect them and practice unconditional love. And these children need choices to help them make their own decisions. You know, maybe you can say, you know, this isn't working. You know, what would you do? You know, how would you fix this? And it's very important that you have fair consequences for what they're doing. You know, if they break a rule, give them a fair consequence, not an unfair one. And it's important, really, to be honest with them. I would tell teachers just to express their feelings and be honest, because I think in return that these children will respect them more.
Okay. Well, what I have been told, you know, like I said, I've gone to these conferences, and they have panels of these children. And some of the oldest ones were like in just early teens. And the children were telling, you know, what they were experiencing and what they were going through. And, you know, a lot of times the teacher perceives them as being disruptive in the classroom, but they said all it is they're bored. And one of the main reasons is because they learn things so quickly.
Right.
And that's what one of them said. The teacher will ask them for an answer to a question, for instance, a math question, and they give them the answer. Well, the teacher says, how did you find the answer? And they said, we just knew it.
Right.
And, of course, the teacher can't accept that, and she wants them to prove how they found it. And that can be very frustrating for a child who just seems to have the answers all right there.
Right.
And they also said that when they're teaching something, they keep going over and over and over it again. And they said, we got it the first time. So they're bored.
You
know, they're just waiting for the rest of the class to catch up with them.
And that can be very frustrating for them because sometimes they don't even know why they're getting that information. And they're getting their information because they're psychic, because I've had the same thing in school. I get an answer, but you don't know how you got the answer. It just came to you psychically. And, you know, maybe as a young star children, they don't even understand that yet. That whole avenue hasn't been opened up, and that can be very frustrating.
And they do learn faster than the others because they absorb it quicker.
That's correct. And they're also more sensitive. They're more sensitive to the energy of the teacher and the other energies of the other souls in that classroom. These star children can be like bombarded with energy. They need a lot of quiet time. They need to be outside and connecting with nature. You know, they need positive outlets. But that's another reason why their behavior is so destructive, is because there's too much energy in the room.
Oh, yeah, they're receptive to it.
That's right.
But the advice that I got in my work, anyway, was to offer these children challenges.
Yes.
Because, you know, they already know the work, you know, and they're sitting around bored. They said to give them challenges.
Yes.
Even if you have to move them to another part of the room, but give them something else to do while the other ones are working on the regular work. They said even if you just give them something to tear apart and put back together again.
That's right.
It's challenging their mind. And it's something as simple as that, even if they're at home.
And Nikki said that a while ago, like, you know, ask them, what would you do in this situation? It's causing them to get into their creative part, you know, and think of things constructively or something.
And they can even take on much bigger challenges than puzzles. You know, I would dare say, throw at them how to solve a political problem. You know, certainly think bigger and global with these children when you're challenging them and, you know, keeping them busy and more focused. But don't throw them easy challenges, because they're capable of so much more than what we even know.
Have you seen that movie, Pay It Forward?
No, I didn't see that.
I am being reminded of that movie, and I guess what you're saying right there, because it was where a teacher gave the classroom a challenge, and this, you know, it's like, I can't remember what the challenge was, but it was something to benefit others and everything. Anyway, this child came up with this idea where you do an act of kindness for someone else, and then they have to do it for someone else. It keeps going forward. And he didn't think it worked, because, I mean, that's the problem, is you don't always see the benefits of it. It ended up, at the end of the story, it did work very, very well. But that was just reminding me that when you were talking about that, because that was a child that came up with that, and that's what they can do. You know, they can create these things. So.
Oh, I'll have to watch that movie.
It's a wonderful movie.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I actually don't get a lot of emails from teachers. So if you're a teacher out there listening, please send me emails with your stories. And, you know, it can only help me lecture better if I know what's going on in these teachers' lives. It sounds like you've spoken to a lot of teachers, Dolores.
You have to keep up on all these things. Well, there was a special, it was a documentary or something, or I think it was on Nova or something. It's been a couple of years ago now, where they were talking about a lot of these indigo children, the younger ones. And some of them are only 9 and 10 years old, have already graduated from college.
Yeah.
Shows how ahead they are and how far they were advancing. And there were some who had even started their own companies. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing about the companies and organization these children were starting were all dealing with helping the children of the world or helping the children of different areas. So, see, they're focusing on the children of the world. So it shows you that if given the right, leeway or the right
environment,
that what they are capable of, if they realize they can do absolutely anything mm-hmm. and aren't put in the box.
In the box with limitations.
And try to keep them there, especially by drugging them and saying, okay, you stay right here in this mm-hmm. box and don't cause any problems.
Right.
They are capable of wonderful things.
Right, right. And we need those things, and we need them now, because we are certainly in a lot of trouble right now. So that the earlier they can get to doing their work, the better it is for all of us. And, you know, not only are they bright, but like you said, Dolores, they're working on bigger projects and just being smart. You know, they're trying to solve environmental or global projects. They're working on bigger things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much more than just being smart. They're here to help, and that's really just an incredible. It's incredible.
Well, so in a way, it's just staying open with them and allow them to feel their. I wanted to say, what's the word? Feel their potential, I guess.
Their limitations. Yeah.
Their power. Very good. Their power. And then just run with that. I mean, just see where they can go.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where you get the benefit from them.
That's right. And you want to make sure that you gear that power into the most positive way that you possibly can. Because certainly power can be flip-flopped and, you know, become not good. So it's important to stay positive and to think positive things when you're around these children. And, you know, keeping stress to a minimum for them and monitoring their stress levels is really important as well.
And you can't fool them. So, you know, they pick up on your feelings and your intuitions anyway. So
absolutely. And let me tell you, as a parent, I have told my daughter a white lie before. Like, you can't have an icy today. They're out. No, they're not, Mommy. I know they're not out of ICs. You know, they know you cannot lie to them. They know they're so incredibly psychic.
You can only try it once, huh?
That's right. And then they'll call you on the carpet, and that's it.
Yep.
But it is important to stay spiritually grounded. It's good for their spirits. It's good for their emotional, environmental stress. I bet a lot of those kids that are 9 and doing all this stuff are very spiritually grounded.
I was just thinking of something I saw on CNN. It's been a few months ago anyway, about this boy. I think he was only 9 or 10, and he has perfected some kind of a medical technique. And he's already way ahead of his class and where they put him into the different grades. But he said he devours medical books and all kinds of, you know, cellular things. And, you know, probably like the field you were in. He devours those kind of books. And he came up with a medical procedure, and they found out it works. Of course, they couldn't let him do it. But he was just explaining to doctors how to do it.
But the exciting part is they're listening to him.
Yeah, that was the thing. And they weren't trying to say, oh, you know, you're just a kid. You don't know what you're doing. But he's already has this interest in that at that young age, and he's making a difference.
And that's so exciting.
He's one of those kids.
And here you go. You know, the parents, the teachers, the providers, the caretakers, the doctors, everyone has got to stay open. Obviously, they had an open mind. Here's a very young child that's got these great ideas. You know, what do they know? But they're keeping their minds open, and that's so important.
Yeah. Otherwise, they think he's just a kid. You know, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Yep. And they will certainly shock us into awareness and instigate change as they go, because that's what they're here for. That's what they're going to do.
So I was just imagining all the kids out there who have this ability, and they're squished. They won't let them do it.
That's right.
That can be channeled in the wrong direction then.
Absolutely.
They become angry.
It's an injustice. It really is. And that's what happened to me. And back then, people just didn't know, and parents were embarrassed. You know, oh, it was just a dream. You know, don't talk about that in front of company. But it's important now that people understand that it is happening, and you could have one of these children, because there are a lot of them coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was about to say that people are a lot more open to it now, but then I was reminded that, well, that's in the circles that I run around in. It may not necessarily be everybody, but as more keep coming in, that's part of the change that has to happen. I mean, they have to be aware.
But you know what, Julia? It's actually, you're true, because we're seeing movies now with psychics, and there's so many things on TV now. One of my favorite shows is Medium. I think it comes on every Friday night. And, you know, John Edwards, remember Coast to Coast with John Edwards? And I think James Von Prague was one of the early ones that came on TV, and, you know, they used to make fun of him. And a lot more is going on with the TV and the media, which is just amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And well, I believe even one of your speakers, I think she even works with Miss Carol Pate. Doesn't she work with the FBI? And
yeah, you were reading my mind. I was just going to mention Carol.
Are you psychic or something?
I was just going to bring her up. She's been on the show several times. She's an old friend of mine, and she has spoken at our conference many times. But she has on TV on the court channel, and she is the psychic detective. And she's done many, many TV shows about the cases she solved. But she started out at 12 years old when she was first working with the police.
That's
so
amazing.
So she's been doing this a long time.
Well, it sounds like that was a lot of groundwork, groundbreaking to get people to believe you. I mean, and that's the thing, is more it's being more believed.
And
you know
what?
So.
She's in her 60s, I guess, now.
Yeah,
thereabouts. But this is way back there. And she said, talking about seeing people, dead people, when she was just a child, and she didn't know they were dead. She thought they were alive. But she works on 300 to 400 murder cases a year. She says sometimes at least 3 or 4 a day.
And see, not a lot of people know that the FBI and the local police departments have got psychics working for them, helping to solve these, you know, quote-unquote unsolvable cases. And I think it's much more common now.
Yeah.
She said it was so funny, though, after one of her shows, she gets a call from somebody, and they said, I've just decided what I want to do with my life. I want to be a psychic detective. How do I do it?
That's not a long question.
It's got to be something you're born with. How do you just all of a sudden decide this is
That's
what I'm
right.
going to do?
And I saw her speak at the conference 2 years ago, and she was just amazing.
Yeah, And she was showing a video of one of the shows she did. But she's been doing this so long. But here, again, she has to put up her safeguards, because it can be overwhelming. Because she says she can pick up on everyone's thoughts if she's out in a crowd or and everything, and you've got to learn how to shut it off. Otherwise, it's operating all the time.
Right, and it drains your energy. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my best friend had taught me, that you can't walk around with your psychic antenna up all the time.
Yep.
And she had gone out on a date once, and the date was saying, well, do you know what I'm thinking? And Myra said, why would you think I would want to? You know, you've got to pull that antenna down sometimes. That's true.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, it's not how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have clients, you know, who tell me the stories of how they, just like you, they started out and they had all these abilities, and then it was shut off, and they're telling me now they want it back. But I said, be careful what you ask for, because they can bring it back, and they may have the same problem that Carol had of picking up everybody. You've got to have a happy medium. You can't just have it all turned on and just that's all there is. You would drive you crazy. You've got to have a happy medium. Turn it, people have a switch, on and off switch, I guess.
That's right. And
well,
it can be a little scary, too. You know, if you're standing in the grocery line and you're getting a message from someone's mother that passed away, you don't want to say, excuse me, but your dead mom is here and she wants me to get you a message. You know, they're going to be on their cell phone dialing 911.
Uh-huh.
Well, we have a friend like that, and he picks up things like that. And I've flown with him places, and we were sitting there, and he wanted to tap this man sitting in front of us. And he says, I've got his father is here or something. I need to give him a message. And I said, no, you don't.
That's right. They will put this plane down.
Not the time or the place to do it.
That's right. That's right. So you do have to be careful, and that's true. You know, people that want to become more psychic, and I say more psychic because every person on this earth has psychic abilities. We all have the ability to communicate with our guides and our angels, and certainly through meditation you can learn to develop that.
Well, the psychic abilities are very natural. We all have them, but we just don't develop them or we push them to the back. But now is the time when all of this is coming forward and is to be used. We're living in very exciting times right now. All of it's going to be opened up, but then you have to learn how to manage it and how to use it in the right way.
Well, when you were saying a while ago they need an on-off switch, what I was being shown is we have a dimmer switch.
Oh, we do?
Yes, we do. And we can. So it's not on-off. It's a matter of to what degree you have it on.
Okay.
So.
But it can be overwhelming to people if they all of a sudden just turn it on full blast, you know.
Then they turn the dimmer down.
Okay.
And people should be reminded, too, that if you're, you know, kicking in your psychic ability, you should be getting loving, encouraging messages from your angels and your guides. If you're getting messages to do not nice things, you know, you are not connecting with your angels and your guides, because I have never gotten anything but a loving, encouraging message from my angels.
Yes.
Why would someone get something that was not positive? Why? I mean, because to me, I mean, that's all that you would connect to, but why would that happen?
Well, I think sometimes we get some negative energy around us. Maybe it's our friends we're hanging out with or our home. Maybe a ghost is coming through our house. You know, there's other things around. And I experienced this last year. We tore down a house next door that had horrible energy. They were doing drugs. Someone committed suicide. Well, a couple of these things decided to come on next door to my house. And I knew they were here, and I tried to get them out, and I couldn't, and I had to reach out to someone who could get them out of my house.
No, you can't move next door.
Yeah,
that's
so
right. You don't belong here.
We want to be clear here. It wasn't an evil spirit or anything like that. It was just a negative energy.
That's right. So there's things that can come through our lives, and another reason not to be drugged or to take a lot of drugs, because that lowers your vibrational frequency, and that opens you up to some negativity and negative energy coming into your life.
Well, I found places do accumulate energy, and this is what are called the elementals. It's the elemental energy, and it is of the place, you know, what goes on in that place, of the people who live there. The house, the building, actually does take on that energy. So that is going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It builds up. It's nothing to do with demons or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It is just the accumulated energy of the place.
From their emotions or their whatever that was going on in there, maybe.
Yeah,
well, you know, if you go into a big cathedral in Europe, you see how wonderful it feels from the accumulated energy. You go into a prison, it's the opposite. You feel the accumulated energy of negativity.
Yeah. Mostly fear.
Fear, and it is definitely an energy there that is, it accumulates.
Right.
So you can be sensitive to that and, you know, to the energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And some people can't handle it.
And
well,
if you need help,
up,
ask your angels for help. You know, ask for an angel to help guide you or to help your energy. You know, you have to invite them in. It's kind of like a vampire, you know. You've got to invite the angels in to help you.
You know,
but they're there and they want to help.
And I know she's going to have to wind it up here and think, but a lot of people, they don't realize that they can't just come in. They have to be invited in.
Yeah.
And And that's like a, that's a really big point.
Right.
But you have to be careful of people. We all know these people that come into your house or you have association with them. After they leave, you feel totally drained. They're
right.
the ones that suck the energy because they need energy for themselves, and they take it out of any body or any place they can. So that you have to be careful of, letting those kind of people, being around them that much.
And it's hard. It's hard to let friends or acquaintances go that are like that. But you have to be tough and say, this person cannot be my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to take care of yourself and your own, protect your own energy.
That's right.
Okay, the hour is gone already, Dickie.
Oh, my goodness.
I want you to tell people how they can contact you if they want to know more about these special children.
Oh, absolutely. You can contact me through my website at www.starchildren.info. And I think there's a contact me page. And please send me your emails with your stories and things that would help you. I love hearing about people's lives and their children or how difficult it is to be a parent of one of these children. I love hearing your stories. It just makes me more knowledgeable for what I can do.
And it's starchildren.info.
That's right, www.starchildren.info.
Okay. And you can find Nikki's book, it's Children of the Stars. You can find it in the bookstores or through Amazon, or you can order it through us. And our website, it's Ozark Mountain Publishing. Our website is abbreviated. It's OZARKMT.com if you want to check in there. And there's information about the conference on there, too. Or you can call our 800 number, 1-800-935-0045. Okay, Nikki, we're going to have to leave, and I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Dolores and Julia. I really enjoyed my time with you.
And we're going to look forward to seeing you in just a few months.
That's wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
It'll be great to see you again.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you for having me tonight.
We're going to say good night to everyone, and thanks for listening, everyone. Good night.
Good night.